Welcome to the Real Estate Hustle Podcast. My name is Andre Chin, broker owner, real estate investor, mega agent, and real estate coach. We're going to be tackling all things real estate, bringing you guests from all across North America, mega agents, mega teams. We're going to be diving deep into their businesses to figure out how they got to where they are and how they consistently bring that hustle into their business every single day. Buckle up, our podcast starts now. So thanks for joining us. Today, we've got Sandy McKay of the McKay Realty Network out of the Hamilton area, as well as a few other expansion locations. Sandy, can you tell our listeners a bit more about yourself and how you got to this position that you're in today?
Yeah, thanks, Andre, and congrats on the new adventure here. Super pumped to be a part of the experience here on the Real Estate Hustle. Love the name. And yeah, I'm excited to share some, hopefully some somewhat valuable information with all the listeners here today, and I'm sure we'll have a fun time.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, I'll kind of go back to how we kind of got to where we are. And so, you know, I started in real estate really through investments, and was kind of going down that route. My wife and I got into that kind of the creative real estate investment space in, would have been in mainly 2011-ish, 2012 maybe. And then kind of got a little more serious as we went in that, started doing some creative real estate investment deals, wholesaling real estate, flip projects, things like that. Basically anything we could do without spending any of our own money or the minimum money we had, and just trying to kind of hustle our way to make it happen. And so that led to, you know, some really good connections in the real estate world, real estate investment world. I was actually working with propertyguys.com, funnily enough, at the time. I had a friend who owned some franchises with that company. So kind of a private sale real estate company where we'd sell marketing packages to sellers. So kind of was in the real estate world as a realtor almost, but not fully. And then we were doing our investment stuff there. And so kind of got introduced to some great people through the investment world. And, you know, one of those people was Mark Loeffler, who is another, you know, really successful realtor in our area. And so we kind of got talking to him a little more. He really intrigued us with joining, you know, getting our real estate license, which I did in 2014. And yeah, kind of got in, joined his team, buyer's agent primarily, had a, we didn't strike success right away, but pretty quick, like 4 to 6 months, started getting going pretty good. But those first few months were a bit of a grind, had some ups and downs. I remember a string of 7 straight mutual releases in like a matter of a week or two. I was like, oh my God, this is a hard industry. But, you know, obviously grinding through that and pushing through, you know, you learn through those. And eventually it would have been my first full calendar year, sold about 50 houses. Then had a great start to the next year, which is 2016, ended up, going separate ways with the team I was on, started our own team, McKay Real Estate Network. So it'd be spring of 2016. And then, you know, kind of went that way with the thought of growing a team right from the beginning. And so, I learned a lot through being on that team of some pros and cons of, you know, what that looks like, hiring, firing, you know, leading people, all that stuff. So I had a pretty decent knowledge base to go from, but of course learned a crap ton more when I had to do that on my own. And yeah, we had a pretty good first year. You know, starting out, we started hiring people within the first 6 months, and now grew that over the sake of the last 4.5 years to where we are today. We'll do about 300 sales this year, and team members, you know, 20-ish team members, not all realtors, but a lot of leverage and support there, support staff, back-end staff, that sort of thing. And then grew out a few more businesses along the way there with our investment side of things. So we had a, now we have a, I'm not running these day to day. I'm sure we can touch on this, but we have some partners in the construction business, property management, and investment. So we still do a lot of investment property purchases ourselves.
Wow. So hold on. I got to slow you down. So 2012, 2011, somewhere in there, we are working for another company. We're selling marketing packages. I love how you said that. We're not selling real estate. We're selling marketing packages out to home sellers. I'm not sure if Property Guys is still around. I think they still do some stuff. But you branch out of that. You come into real estate as a brand new agent, kind of, you know, go through the same fight that we all go through over the first 6 months. And then you go on to do 50 transactions in your first full calendar year. Did I get that right?
That's right. Yeah.
What was that experience like for me to go from, like you said, selling marketing packages and then really making no money to then just knocking it out of the park? What was that 50 transaction year like for you in your first rookie year?
Well, there's, of course, it's the overnight success in 10 years, right? It was a build up to that point for sure. That was kind of the striking gold moment, I would say, if I were to, at least the initial striking gold moment. But for sure, leading up to that, I definitely, learned a little bit about real estate for the few years leading up. But I also, even going back before that, I was dabbling in online marketing businesses and trying to do some, things that were, I was making minimal money, but I was learning a lot about different aspects of it, mindset, marketing, entrepreneurship in general. And I, going back even farther, I was a golf pro for a few years living in Australia, a lot of sports, that side of things really taught me a lot about mindset. Golf is a great, it's a mind game. It's a battle. If you're playing real golf, it's a battle of your mind. So it's, your mindset's got to be really good, and you got to be, you have a negative thing happen to you. Well, it's, how do you maintain that positive mindset to keep going? And a lot of lessons learned through all that building up to that moment. But that first year, I mean, I really, looking back, kind of probably not totally on purpose, but found a great mentor to help guide me. That was the most important thing, I think, was finding a great mentor to lead me into this industry, and someone who had developed some things that I wanted to just emulate. And, I was just excited to do that. So when I got into that flow of things and business started happening a little bit, I think I was just excited about it. And it kind of led to, working a lot of hours, but having a fun time and growing along the way, and obviously seeing some results fairly quickly.
That's incredible. And a credit to your work ethic. I mean, I think we met Sandy for the very first time. I mean, we've been on the golf course together. I've seen your scores, and we all know you're an amazing golfer. But I remember sitting in Bold with you, our Keller Williams course on mindset, speaking of mindset. And I can't remember if we were at the same table or if we were just in one of the breakout groups together. And we kind of threw around where we were going to be in 5 years, that exercise that you do where you kind of future pace yourself. I remember looking at yours and kind of going, mine's not big enough. Like, here's Sandy, he's brand new to the business. We started similar times. I think I maybe have a year on you when we started. And you come in with this big vision, this big mindset. I'm going to have the number one team in the nation in 5 years. And I think you're 4 years into the team and you're pretty close to hitting that number with the 300 ends, maybe not quite there yet as far as you go. But, when you talk about mindset and then you show up the way you do, and then you go on and do what you've gone and done, how did your mentor help with that mindset? How did you keep your mindset at the forefront and making sure that you stayed positive? Because we know this is a tough business. We all get beat up. And here you are having your best year ever in the middle of a global pandemic. How are you able to keep your mindset so high?
Great question. I think, and that Bold is amazing. So actually tying that Bold part in too, which is kind of a funny timeline on that. I talked about having 7 straight major releases. That was like 2 weeks before Bold. So that was my first Bold was, I think it was, would have been October maybe in 2014. And I just got in the business, end of June, early July, 2014. So a few months, I sold a few houses there, but nothing of great success, kind of still warming up to the business. And then, leading into that Bold, had a real run of just really stuff that kind of gut punches you, and you kind of go, crap, man, this is a tough business. And they were, looking back, the 7 mutual, I probably could have saved 5 or 6 of them. They were probably good deals for the people buying them. And I didn't do a great job at the end of the day to keep them together. And so, going into that course, really that, and I've done Bold now 10 times. So it's always a great experience. But that first one was a huge one for me getting my mind straight for this business and getting into some great habits, and obviously great environment to surround yourself in as well, to meet great people like you and others, to really keep my mindset going. So the environment's huge. When I joined Mark and his team originally there in 2014, one of the really obvious things to me right away was like really what work ethic actually looks like hard work. I kind of thought I was okay hard worker before, and I've seen some people work hard. I haven't been around him all the time day to day lately, because I know he does a lot of different things now, but man, he was really working hard those first you know, and it was an amazing mentor to be around, because I'd be there every day, you know, by his side, and I'd be like, man, he's really like, not only just like, not necessarily working long hours, but when you're there doing all actual in. Work, not doing like, yeah. you know, chatting around for an hour, killing time. You're there like to work and make stuff happen.
You mean in order to be a top performer, we've got to actually put the work in? Is that what I'm hearing right now? We've got to go to work as realtors?
Apparently. And you know what? The other thing too is showing up at the office. I always, and I've really maintained that habit. I've loved that habit actually that I got into, was just come to the office every day, you know, like a normal business person would, right? Coming to the office, yeah. 8, 9, whatever your time is, it doesn't really matter, but doing something consistent and showing up there and going to work rather than, you know, some days I'll roll out of bed at 10 or, you know, what probably the average realtor's life is like, right? Is kind of all over the place and not very scheduled. Yeah. That was a great thing, Bold, too. Another thing there was a schedule and getting, I've never really used a calendar that well before that course, actually. So I'd had, you know, obviously I'd heard of Google calendars and stuff at the time, but never really utilized it. That's something that's took a while to really I'm pretty good at it now. I don't know if I'm an expert per se, but I'm pretty darn good. And I think that is a really important piece to this business, is to staying some version of a schedule that's consistent so you can get in those habits.
Absolutely. Well, knowing what I know about you, you know, you touched on it quickly, and then we're going to deep dive a little more into it. Before we do, you've got the team, we're doing 300 ends. What's the structure of the team look like? Are you running admins? Are you running a backend system? What do you have going on the team?
Yeah. So we have now, we have a few different departments, right? So we have our client care department, which is two individuals. And they basically service all of our listing clients, especially primarily on the listing side. So sellers, they do work with everyone, buyers, investors, et cetera, but a lot of work goes into the listing side, you know, straight from when the agent goes and signs up a new listing, that person's touching base right away and kind of helping them through the whole process. So we got that department. We have our inside sales team, which is six as of today. So six people, one like in a more of a management role, and then five others working the phone. So they basically follow up, nurture leads, hand off appointments to the agents. And then we have our marketing team, which actually we've gone back and forth with that in-house, outbound, outside. So we've kind of now currently we have it mostly outside actually. So we're outsourcing the majority of that. We just recently now hired again an agent services person. So someone to kind of help be that intermediary between the agents and the admin team, and helping the agents get some at least decent paperwork done, and you know, making that flow a little easier on everyone. So basically just helping the agents get their job done at a high level.
So you built a system that an agent, whether they're experienced or know nothing, can plug in, have everything done for them, and they can focus on the top five things they need to every day. Is that kind of what we're hearing?
That's the top five. That's it. So we're always looking at that, right? The top five things: lead gen, lead follow up, go on appointments, negotiate contracts, and script and role play. If anything falls out of those categories for them, it's how can we help them by leveraging that off. And so our back end support team basically covers anything else, right? So right. I mentioned the client care, marketing, agent services. We have a director of operations, and then we've grown now in the last little bit here to add on some new expansion teams. So now we have basically agents in a few different other markets, and our goal is to grow that, you know, beyond over the next, you know, for foreseeable future, is to grow that into some new areas. So, you know, we have the agent team here in Hamilton, which is 15, I want to say now, agents. And then we have a couple other agents in now, where we have four different markets outside of Hamilton.
Wow. So for the people listening that don't know what expansion is within real estate, I mean, it's probably unique to KW. It's probably something that not most other companies are doing, but tell me a little bit about what that looks like. You know, I'm looking at you as an expansionist. You're coming to my city. What does that look like for me, and why would I do expansion with McKay?
Right. So, you know, obviously it is fairly new to KW. I would agree. I mean, it's a big thing in the US that we see a lot of. It's one of the great things about having an awesome network around you all the time, is you get to hear about these things and go, man, that's an awesome idea. just the fact that nobody does it here, like, what does that matter? It's the real estate world. It's all very similar. So saw a bunch of people doing that in the US, saw you doing that, and saw other people, you know, sometimes trying, sometimes failing, you know, ups and downs with that here in Canada. But, you know, I just saw the power of what that can be. And it kind of just, you know, it raises your network, gets you, creates more opportunities for everyone in your world if you do that. And that's part of the excitement, I guess, about doing this. But essentially, it's finding a real estate salesperson or team in another market. It could be half an hour down the road. It could be, you know, across the country, or it could be in a different country. And they would join you. They're an expansion partner. So they're going to basically tap into all your back end, you know, systems and models that you've set up. Leverage those so that they can grow their business faster, better, more efficiently, without having to go through all the hiring and that process of trying to find all those people themselves. They can just, it's almost like a franchise in a way. But right. All they need to do is hire the salespeople now or not, depending on what their path looks like. But typically they would be a salesperson who now wants to build a team. They can leverage out the rest. All they got to focus on is hiring, training, motivating, leading the salespeople in their area. And we can help them be their back end, and at least the majority of their back end. As they grow, that might, you know, they might end up adding some admin and stuff there locally too. So a little case by case in each market, but it's, I think it's an exciting thing for someone to take, you know, get rid of the first few years, for example, that I've had to go through hiring, firing. You know what that's like with the admin side of it. It's a lot of stress, a lot of ups and downs, learning Absolutely. That all right. And just so
you basically skip take all that the pain and... away. You take all the pain away. So I'm an agent. I got all this pain. I've got all this stuff I got to figure out. I got to learn how to hire, learn how to train, learn how to do all these things. You're going to take all that away from me. And the only thing I got to do is get up, show up to work, do my lead gen, call my leads back, lead my sales team if I've got one, and then go home and put my feet up. Is that basically it?
That's the perfect world of it, at least. Yeah.
Pretty good life.
And then you also get, of course, you know, and same with you and your teams as you grow, you get the people that are there already, and the people are huge, right? So you get me, you get other people on our team that are there to help them, lead them and grow them, right? And tapping into those conversations, I think, is a huge piece as well. And it's just having Absolutely. The right people around you and mentors and all that, right?
Well, and then the saying is, you know, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. And that's the prime example, right? I mean, some of these people that I know you've gotten into business with are great salespeople. They're going to do some incredible things already. And now with the support of Sandy, with the support of MRN, you guys are now going to create an even bigger world. And they might actually accomplish things that, like you said, it might take them 5 years. Now they can do it in 5 months, potentially, and continue to grow even faster. That's unbelievable. So with that, though, you've got, and we'll dive back into the auxiliary businesses. So you talked about your schedule. I might be wrong. I think there's 5 businesses attached to the real estate team as well. And you're talking about leading and running all these organizations. So what does that look like for you, and how are you managing your schedule through all that?
Yeah. So, I mean, it seems like a big undertaking. I guess it is, but it's also just in managing, I don't know, managing is not a great word for it, but it's just prioritizing your time, I guess, properly. Yeah. Right. So, you know, I've coming from the investment side of things, you know, I've seen what owning multiple investment properties can do financially for people, for myself and others. It's a massive wealth building opportunity that I think more realtors should tap into. And so I've always been really tied to that. You know, I honestly fell in love with the realtor side of it. So I really enjoyed doing the realtor side of it day to day, which is where I spend most of my time still. But, you know, luckily enough to have some great people to help these other businesses grow. So, you know, my wife, Kate, she was a realtor for a while. She's done some realtor activities, but she kind of gravitated towards the property management side of things. And we needed a property management company, or we needed someone to manage our properties. And she was doing that. We didn't have a great option here locally for hiring someone else to do it. At least we didn't think so. So we said, well, let's just start that out. And we needed this one for ourselves. So we said, well, let's at least start with that. And then we'll see if we want to add on, you know, obviously with the realtor team and the investors we're working with, what's an easy add-on, you know, extra service to not only add extra value to them, but keep them in our world as well. And now it's easier way to follow up with them. And, you know, the whole connection into our world becomes even deeper, and it just keeps them more, you know, wanting to work with us. Right. So my wife, Kate, runs that day to day. So I don't spend I spend a little more time on that business only because I talk about it at home with her and on the weekends. But other than that, like, I don't go to that. Like, they have their own office now. They were in with our office here. They're now at their own office. She's got 12 people running around there leading them. So she's pretty ingrained in that business, but I spend very minimal time on that. Just kind of helped launch it, and she's running with it. And so that's how that looks. We have the investment side of it, which with my partner there, Adrian, he runs all that stuff basically. So he's out there looking for partnerships, looking for fundraising, things like that to get more money to spend on these properties. And then he's out there finding deals and putting them together. He deals with that 100%. I barely ever go into these properties anymore. And he leads that, and we split what's going on there. So he spends the time there. He obviously gets the value out of the team here as well, with deals coming through and hearing about opportunities and things like that, and utilizing some of our back-end support as well. And then the construction side is something we added on because we needed it too. We were doing all these renovation projects, and our strategy is to find really distressed properties, fix them up, hold them, and rent them. And we just needed a great contractor to help spearhead that and make it go smoothly and not be delayed and not have, you know, being put down on the priority list because contractors are going to, you know, work on some other big projects. So this way we just kind of had it in-house. It also helped another value add to our clients and the realtor side, because now we can go fix things up quickly, or if they need something urgently done, we can have a resource for that. So that was just, again, another partner that we found through, he was a client actually doing similar things for us and also needed this, and he was kind of acting as a contractor. And we just said, look, what would this look like if we kind of collaborated and just, you can run the day-to-day. He's our managing partner, so he runs day-to-day. We all have a portion of the ownership there. And, we help him kind of with leading and running a business and sending leads that way. And yeah. So it's been they're all kind of connected, interconnected. Right. And I think our goal with it all at the end of the day was kind of have a bit of a Costco-style business where people can come into our world and get all these different things and not just be a realtor team or just be a property management business. And
right,
obviously nothing wrong with that. You can create amazing businesses. And I think focusing on one thing all the time is important, which is why I don't spend hardly any time on these other businesses. I really still just focus on the real estate team and building that and helping that.
So we've got the lead coming in. So we're going to find the property. We're going to fix up the property. We're going to manage the property. We're going to clean the property, and we're going to fund how you gonna buy the property. Do I have all that right?
Yeah, essentially. So we can kind of, you know, our perfect person, a lot of people we work with are really busy professionals in Toronto or Vancouver, wherever, somewhere, and they don't wanna, they want to invest in real estate, but they don't wanna, they're not sure how to do it, all that sort of thing.
They don't have the time.
No, they don't want to make the time, and they make a great income and that family stuff. So they can come into our world and basically get it all in one place. And we can basically, without them ever having to see a property, they could come in here and we can help them buy it, fix it, all that stuff. And they can go do what they want and make a great return passively. We put in most of the sweat equity. And yeah, that's one piece of the business that's really worked out well for us. Last couple of years, for sure, we've really, really added on the residential, typical residential transactional business there, which has been really good as well, and growing that and creating more opportunity for everyone.
Well, and they say real estate is a limited career, and you've taken, you were a realtor, you are a realtor, you're still doing it. Agent's still selling. I'm sure he's still doing transactions. I know Kate's still, I don't think she still has her license, but she was obviously realtor for a time there with you as well. And you've got 20 other realtors within your world, 4 other locations as well. And this all started from, hey, I'm going to go get my real estate license. And 5 years later, here's what I'm doing. So when I look at that, I want to ask, and I'm a little scared because it might be so big that I haven't even thought of it yet, but what's next for Sandy and company? Like, where are you guys headed? What are you guys doing next?
Well, so I'm excited about what that ends up being. I kind of, you know, we are, last year we went to a bit of a sustainability phase, to be honest. And we kind of said, because there is a point, I think, where, you know, supercharged growth all the time is a bit, you know, you just got to be a bit careful with that.
Tiring? Is just, that the word?
It can be tiring. It can be, you know, there's a point, you know, where, what's Buffett says, the, what does he say? The I forget the line exactly, but one of the ways he can really go bust is too much leverage, essentially. So I was kind of, there was a point there. I'm like, I maybe should just slow down to speed up kind of thing. So let's slow down and sustain a bit here. Like get some our foundational piece, make sure this is really set before we go to the next level. So this year has been a lot of more in the last few months, at least a lot more growth oriented, which is fun, more fun, I think. But yeah, so we really want to grow these businesses in the more cities. That's the main goal for us. So we have started that process. We'd love to, I kind of see them as all being able to go in different cities collectively. So having our realtor team, property management, construction, and investment, those four at least in all across Canada, all the different cities that make sense, anything that makes sense for investment purposes is a city that we'd like to be in. So a city that's at least 100,000 plus people that has some good economic drivers and everything happening, which there's a bunch of those in Canada. We'd love to be in every one of those cities, and we'd love to help create opportunities for realtor teams and those people in those areas. And so getting into every one of those cities, it's probably somewhere around 100 of them. Getting into those over the next 5 to 10 years is where we're going with that. And then and then helping open up offices with Keller Williams in Canada. It was another exciting thing that I'm just working on. And as you know, and launching the first one of those in the next 1-2 months, which is really, really exciting. And I'm kind of seeing that lining up with all these other ones as well and helping really grow Keller Williams in Canada. Because when I look back, and maybe I didn't really mention this specifically, when I look back to the mindset piece and all these different things that have happened in the last 5-6 years, you know, it's Keller Williams is always there as a foundational piece to it. And that's been a massive, massive kind of lucky move for me. I kind of joined a mentor who was just happened to be in Keller Williams.
Yeah.
But he was here for probably the same reason I am. And I stay here is the fact that you can just create an amazing network and environment around you that, you know, when we sit here and talk about what we're going to do over the next 5-10 years or whatever, you can't help but feel inspired by the big thinking and the, you know, the ideas and stuff that all of a sudden start triggering when you talk about that. Right. And I just don't find that that's there in other real estate companies.
I love that. I love that. And same for the same reason how I ended up with KW is, you know, as every time I think I'm thinking big enough, I come up on a Sandy or a Ben or a Chris or a Dylan or somebody else that basically overshadows how big I'm thinking and forces you to actually go back to the drawing board and go, am I actually thinking big enough and how big could this be? I just heard you said 100 cities, which crazy enough, when we looked at our expansion plan, we were at 50 and now I'm hearing you're going 100. So I got to go back to the drawing board and go, okay. If Sandy's going at 100, is there room for 100 different cities that we can be in as well? And we mirror each other with our teams. You know, you're in Hamilton, we're in Hamilton. You're in Kitchener-Waterloo region, we're in the same region. I think you're in London as well. We're not there yet. We're trying to track down the talent there. Where else are you? Or is that your primary three locations?
We're in Niagara and then Windsor. So nice. Windsor and actually Barrie is a unique one. I won't get into all the details, but Barrie is coming along. It'll probably be official. We have someone there. It'll be more official in the next 6 months or so, but that's coming along too. So those are main ones right now. There's some other great cities. I look at the Keller Williams franchise opportunities essentially. And I said, well, there's about 125 of those or so. The numbers I've heard. A handful of those, or maybe a 25 of those or so, probably aren't perfect ones for us to go into personally with our team and that model, but about 100, I think are doable. And so that's kind of how it came to that number. We're focused on Canada. We'll see if we go beyond Canada. I'm okay. I think Canada is a great country. It's big enough for most of our, you know, we can create
absolutely
a lot of success in Canada, but we'll see about going beyond that. Maybe we'll look at that at some point too.
Fair enough. And I heard you mention that you're launching your office shortly. So let me be the first to say congratulations. When this finally airs, I'm pretty sure you're going to be either launched or just about to launch at that point in time. So congratulations on the venture. Tell me about that. Like, what's that called? It's a KW office, obviously. So what's the name? Where are you located? And I mean, obviously, we're going to be tracking you down there. So we need to know those details.
So Keller Williams Legacies, hopefully it's launched or launching as this airs, and it's Vaughan area, so right north of Toronto. Great market. We're super excited to have the opportunity to go in there and kind of raise the quality of a business happening in the real estate world and just create a great opportunity for others in that area. So it's a Keller Williams franchise, of course. We've been at that for a good part of 6 months here to launch it, and really excited about the opportunity there, the growth that can happen in that region. It's an awesome area. I've lived there in the past, and so excited to kind of work back in there and have already met some great people. We've got some awesome, people lined up to be part of it, and it's going to be really exciting. And hopefully we grow that into the number one Keller Williams in Canada. You might have something to say about that, but
we'll work on that. I mean, I love the competition, and that's one of the things that we've always kind of joked about is, we mirror each other pretty similarly, but we're always open to fun, friendly competition. And I'm excited for you to come into the OP world. I think the nation needs more OPs that are thinking as big as you're thinking and want to do some of the crazy things that you're saying. So when you think about 100 locations with your team, how many of those are going to be, market centers, or are you going to just open them? What's the plan there? Do you have the plan yet?
Great question. I don't necessarily have the plan for that. I think that, I kind of look at this and I think you're the same. I don't need to be the owner of all these different franchises. I'd love to have a piece of them or be involved in it and be involved in the growth. Ultimately, if we find some other great people to run them or to be the lead on them, like that's awesome. I just think the Keller Williams is a huge, just so much, it makes such a big impact on people's lives that it needs to be out there in more places. And however that needs to look to make it happen, I'm on board with. I most likely, if I'm involved in that and part of that for a bunch of years here, maybe that'll end up being a few different offices where I'm kind of more involved in actively. But we'll kind of see what that looks like. I know we've got a great group of some young leaders in the company that are helping with this, and people that have been around a while that we're going to keep growing and do more too. So I'm just excited about that growth, whatever that looks like. I don't know exactly, kind of evolve as it goes, but certainly I want to do it in line with our team growing and everything. It just makes sense to kind of have that all working together and find some opportunities in Canada, because there's so many out there. And yeah,
love that. Kind of see I love that hearing that. I love that. And I mean, you probably feel the same way. I think Canada's the biggest opportunity within the real estate world currently. There's more agents than we know what to do with. There's a great, healthy business here, and we're underserviced as far as talent goes. So if you had to go back, we're talking to 2012 Sandy here. You're going to give your past self some advice for the first 90 days. What would you tell yourself if you could go back and do that?
First 90 days in real estate, I would say, you got to find a great group of people to be around. Go seek them out. Reach above your wherever level you think you're at. Go up. And real estate's a great industry because there's a lot of people willing to share and collaborate. And so it's, as much as it's at times maybe dog eat dog here and there, depending on the environment you're in, there's an environment out there somewhere that's amazing and welcoming and there to support you. So be very, very conscious about who you're with and who you're talking to every day, and make sure that there's some people that you really, make sure that they have some things in their life that you might want to get one day. And so, obviously they've gotten those things by doing something right. So be a sponge, hang around with them, ask some questions. I found one great person at the beginning. I didn't do enough reaching out to more people, and I would probably do that a little. I think that would have got me going even faster, reaching out for help and asking people that are not below or the same, but above me, and just being that dumbest person in the room, so to speak.
The dumbest guy in the room. I think we both do that and focus on that and make sure that we're always surrounding ourselves with great leaders, right? Who you surround yourself with hangs or matters. Sorry.
One other thing on that too, which I did well, but I'm going to say it because it's something that people just don't do well. And it's this totally simple and stupid thing, but you just have to hit the phones hard. You got to get on the phone.
Like, you got to work.
Yeah. You got to work. Like, you can't just go sit in the room and think that you're going to all of a sudden have a great real estate business. You got to go do the action.
You're telling me I get my license and my phone doesn't just ring. Like, everyone that knows me doesn't just call me and say, hey, I want you to sell my house or buy houses with me. That's not what happens. Come on.
If you do, you'd be probably the first. So it's, it's something that's so easy and so obvious and so not done by anyone really. Right. Like 5 to 10% maybe that actually ever take action on that. And that's just the reality. You got to do that for at least the first while in this business. And the quicker you learn that and just do it, forget the websites, forget the business cards. You don't even need business cards anyways anymore. So forget all that crap. Hit the phones, call the people you know, tell them you're excited about being in the real estate business and you love their support and people want to help you. These are things you learn probably
Do you think that's the most common myth of this industry that we're in?
Oh, that people want to help you, or if they don't want to help you?
Yeah.
I think that's something that you learn through. You either learn it or you just never learn it. You learn it through taking the action, which is, that's sales in general, right? I think people want to help you succeed mostly in life, unless you're just a real, you just had been a real asshole for the rest of your early on in life or something, or, really hurt someone in some way. But in general, most people, especially Canadians, we're so freaking nice. They want to help you. So
you couldn't even drop the F-bomb. You had to give me we're so freaking nice. That's how Canadian you are. I love it. Yeah, exactly. Okay. So looking back, I mean, we've learned a lot about you today, and thank you for sharing. I do appreciate you so much. When we look at everything else that's happening, what's something else that we absolutely have to hear from you? What's one thing that our listeners, if they could take anything from the show, you hope they heard, what's that one thing today?
Embrace and get excited about the technology that's coming into the business. If I were to keep it really real estate specific and get a little away from the mindset piece, because I know I've touched on that a lot, embrace the technology and the tools that are out there. They're going to, everything I've ever read up on this stuff, and this is technology in general, it's taken us, look back the last 10 years, and how far we've come and where technology has come in the last 10 years. That's we're going to like 10x that growth in the next 10 months. So it's going to come really, really fast. If you're not utilizing any, like some of these new tools in the next year or 2 years, you are totally going to get left behind. You're going to be out of the business quicker than you know it. You got to embrace these things, and you have to be innovating and looking at what's coming. And just, you cannot be that agent. I don't think you can be the agent for much longer, at least where you're just, I don't know what I'm doing with this. I don't want to learn it. I'm just going to do what I've always done. You're not going to hang around much longer. It's too many good, young, talented, exciting business people that are going to get in this business in the next 5 years that are going to wipe out everyone else if you're not utilizing some form of this technology.
I agree 100%. The industry is changing. The world we live in is changing. The global pandemic saw to that as well. It forced us all to
embrace technology. That just sped it up even more, right?
Absolutely. You might have thought you had 5 years. Now we're here, and you may have 5 months to 10 months if you're not at the forefront of tech. It's certainly going to change. Sandy, we've got people that I know are going to want to connect with you. What's the best way to get a hold of you? Is it social media? Is it text? I know you try to avoid phone calls as much as possible. So how do we get a hold of you if we want to grab in?
I love text. I'm good at texting. I can respond when I can. If someone texts me and I'm willing to, and they're, yeah, there's someone in the industry or they're trying to get in the industry or whatever they are, I'd love to help out. So you can definitely do that. 416-567-3866. Text is great. You can call me if you want. You'll definitely get me through text. Calling, you never know. Or also sandy@mckayrealtynetwork.com is a great way to reach out to. Or you can find me on Facebook, Instagram, wherever else, LinkedIn. Any of those sites are going to work too. So there's a lot of ways to find me. Not too difficult.
Amazing. Amazing, Sandy. I want to thank you personally. Thank you for being on the show. This is a Real Estate Hustle podcast with Sandy McKay today. We've had a great time. Sandy, thank you so much. I know you're launching your own podcast in a week or two from now. What's the name? And so how do we track that down as well? When are you launching?
Yeah, thanks, Andre. Honestly, this is super fun too. And I love the hustle. That's a great name there. And like we talked about taking action and all that today. So I think that's a word that really embraces that. So congrats on the launch of this show again. Our show is coming on, and I'm actually, by the time this airs, maybe you've already been on our show and you're going to be one of our first guests there. So it's a team building show. And you'll be able to find that on anywhere you're listening to podcasts, Apple, amazing, iTunes, Facebook, etc.
That's awesome. Thanks, Andy. And you can find us on, Apple Music, we're going to be on Spotify, we're going to be on all the typical podcast outlets as well, the Real Estate Hustle podcast. Thank you so much, Sandy, and I appreciate you spending time with us today.
Awesome. Thanks.